mercy to the worlds, the mercy to the worlds, the mercy to the worlds, the mercy to the worlds, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidil mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Please repeat after me. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. Viewers of Madni Channel, welcome back to YOLO Series 3. The mercy to the world. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, in this beautiful program, we're on a magnificent journey through the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It doesn't get any better than this, where you're going through what happened in the life of Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sometimes on a daily basis, the big events, and Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, the beautiful madni pearls that come out of that. Subhanallah. It is a journey that, no doubt, I'm enjoying, and I'm sure that you are enjoying at home as well. خلق سے اولیاء, اولیاء سے رسول, اور رسولوں سے اعلیٰ ہمارا نبی. Our beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You've got the normal creation of Allah Azza wa Jal. And better than the normal creation are the friends of Allah Azza wa Jal, the awliya Allah. خلق سے اولیاء. And then from the friends of Allah Azza wa Jal, the awliya, then there are the prophets of Allah Azza wa Jal. So Allah Hazrat says, خلق سے اولیاء, اولیاء سے رسول. So this is the tartib, you know, the hierarchy. But what the Allah Hazrat says next is beautiful. He says, اور رسولوں سے اعلیٰ ہمارا نبی. Okay, after all the prophets, if somebody sits at the apex of this beautiful pyramid of the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal, then we are lucky that it is our beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we have the honor and the privilege of being the ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. So, this is now a magnificent journey. But before we start, I've got the question of the week for you. A very easy one this week, actually. How many pillars of Islam are there? How many pillars of Islam are there? These are the basic fundamentals of Islam. These are the duties we need to fulfill, and these are the goals that we need to achieve in our lifetime, the pillars of Islam. Now, we're going to move to a beautiful kalam. You know, the naats of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, the praise of Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, throughout the journey that we've had, we've seen that at different times, different people praised Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And indeed, in today's episode, we're going to have times where people came to the court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they praised their tribes, they praised their idols, and the companions got up and they praised the best of creation sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And these people were dumbstruck. They were filled with awe and the praise was so beautiful that it pierced their hearts and they came into the fold of Islam. This is what the naats of Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do. They increase the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our hearts. So let's go to a beautiful kalam by none other than our beautiful Abdul Habib by Rukni Shura. And he when he reads, I just feel that he reads from the heart. Subhanallah. Let's enjoy this kalam. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Madine jaane walo, jao jao. فی امان اللہ مدینے جانے والو جاؤ جاؤ فی امان اللہ کبھی تو اپنا بھی لگ جائے گا بستر مدینے میں نہ ہو مایوس دیوانوں پکارے جاؤ تم ان کو نہ ہو مایوس دیوانوں پکارے جاؤ تم ان کو بلائیں گے تمہیں بھی ایک دن سرور مدینے میں سرور مدینے میں
سوچتا ہوں میں وہ گھڑی کیا جب گھڑی ہوگی سوچتا ہوں میں وہ گھڑی، کیا جب گھڑی ہوگی
جب درِ نبی پر ہم سب کی حاضری ہوگی، جب درِ نبی پر ہم سب کی حاضری ہوگی، سوچتا ہوں میں وہ گھڑی کیا جب گھڑی ہوگی،
آرزو ہے سینے میں گھر بنے مدینے میں، آقا آرزو ہے سینے میں گھر بنے مدینے میں،
ہو کرم جو بندے پر بندہ پروری ہوگی، ہو کرم جو بندے پر بندہ پروری ہوگی،
بندہ پروری ہوگی،
سوچتا ہوں میں وہ گھڑی کیا جب گھڑی ہوگی، جب درِ نبی پر ہم سب کی حاضری ہوگی،
بات کیا ہے بادِ صبا اتنی کیوں معطر ہے، بات کیا ہے بادِ صبا اتنی کیوں معطر ہے،
سبز سبز گنبد کو چوم کر چلی ہوگی، سبز سبز گنبد کو چوم کر چلی ہوگی، سوچتا ہوں میں وہ گھڑی کیا جب گھڑی ہوگی، جب درِ نبی پر ہم سب کی حاضری ہوگی،
سو کھلیں گے اس کے لیے رحمتوں کے دروازے، سو کھلیں گے اس کے لیے رحمتوں کے دروازے،
نعت مصطفیٰ جس نے ایک بھی سنی ہوگی، نعت مصطفیٰ جس نے ایک بھی سنی ہوگی، سوچتا ہوں میں وہ گھڑی کیا جب گھڑی ہوگی، جب درِ نبی پر ہم سب کی حاضری ہوگی،
دیکھ تو نیازی ذرا سو گیا کیا دیوانہ، دیکھ تو نیازی ذرا سو گیا کیا دیوانہ،
ان کی یاد میں شاید آنکھ لگ گئی ہوگی، ان کی یاد میں شاید آنکھ لگ گئی ہوگی، سوچتا ہوں میں وہ گھڑی کیا جب گھڑی ہوگی، جب درِ نبی پر ہم سب کی حاضری ہوگی،
بلا لو ہم غریبوں کو، بلا لو اے میرے آقا، میں آؤں آپ کے در پر، کرم ہو اے میرے آقا، میرے
آقا. سبحان اللہ، what a beautiful kalam. You know, just that contemplation of being in Medina Sharif brings so much spirituality. But if you have the honor and the privilege of being invited to the court of the beloved Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just the thought of, you know, what will happen when I get there? How will I feel? You know, what will the condition of my heart be? What will the condition of my mind be? What will I ask the beloved Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam for? How will I thank Allah azza wa jal for this great blessing? So this is what our beautiful Nat Khan was saying. You know, I'm just thinking and contemplating how beautiful that moment is going to be. Subhanallah, what a beautiful karam. May Allah Azza wa Jal give us all the opportunity to go to that beautiful place time and time again. Just a blessing of Durood-e Paak upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, just imagine, it's the Day of Judgment. Everybody, the entire creation of Allah Azza wa Jal is there. And you are invited to the court of Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet, the beauty and the main, you know, guest, the main person on that day. Everybody is looking towards Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on that day. And you're invited to shake hands with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How amazing would that be? But listen to this hadith of Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whoever recites Durood-e Paak upon me 50 times a day I will shake hands with him on the Day of Judgment. Just 50 times, 2 minutes a day. But you're guaranteed to have that honor and that privilege. We're going to move to our main segment. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The mercy to the world.
Now, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Last week we covered the conquest of Makkah and what happened after. And then we had various incidents with the beautiful companions of Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and how you remember that the Ansar of Medina were very worried when Makkah was conquered, because they thought the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will now reside in Makkah. But Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave them the most beautiful news that anybody could have, that don't worry, I'm not going to stay in Makkah. I'm going to come back with you to Medina, and I will be with you for the rest of my worldly life, and then to the Day of Judgment. Subhanallah. This was the honor that Allah Azza wa Jalla and His beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave to the beautiful city of Madinatul Munawwara and the people of Madinatul Munawwara. And then there was a time where, you know, the war booty, you'll remember, was being distributed, and there was some objections by the youngsters. And Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "You're worried about the worldly stuff? You have the Messenger of Allah." And they all started to cry and said, "Yes, we've got the greatest treasure of the world. We don't want anything else." This was the beautiful Ansar, subhanAllah. Now we move to the ninth year after Hijrah. So Aqa Kareem, this is 9 years after Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has migrated from Makkatul Mukarramah to Madinatul Munawwara. Now Makkah has been conquered. Now Islam is spreading in the Arabian Peninsula. Tribes are coming into the fold of Islam and gaining the light and the nur of the message of the Quran and the beautiful, beautiful way of Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's the message is spreading far and wide. People are coming into the fold of Islam, and Islam is now starting to flourish. Now, ninth year of Hijrah, a very interesting event happened. As Islam was expanding, and as lands were being conquered, booty and money and riches started to come in. Now at that time, Ummahatul Mu'mineen, the mothers of the believers, the wives of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, expressed certain desires. And those were that the house of Akka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not like the houses of any kings of the time. You know, the Persian kings, the Roman kings, the Byzantine, all the kings lived luxury lives. Their families lived luxury lives. And now, normally, the people on the outside would expect that for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that now Islam is conquering. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the leader of the Muslims. The Arabian Peninsula has been taken over. There is a lot of money coming in. So now there will be a life of luxury for this Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But no, that is not the way of the best of creation sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the house of Akka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the stove didn't light for many days. Even in this time, they lived off dates and water. And anything that came in, that portion that was given to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or those with them, was distributed amongst the poor. This is where, you know, can you imagine that Akka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through so much difficulties. You remember in Makkah when they were isolated and they had to, the Muslims had to eat leaves to survive. They've had difficulties in Medina. Now Islam is flourishing. Now, you know, all this booty is coming in and finances have changed. Yet the condition of the best of creation sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hasn't changed. So the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, the blessed and pure wives of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, express a desire. And they all come to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they say that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we want more spending. They raised this issue. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became displeased with this. Because Akka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam had already given them the great statuses of being the wives of the last and final messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Akka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became displeased and he did not approach any of his wives for a full month. To understand what was happening, one has to look at the history. Because Akka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a different number of wives, many wives, but where did they come from? A lot of these wives had lived in luxurious conditions. You know, they came from influential families. Their fathers were chiefs of tribes. So, for example, Hazrat Sayyidina Umm Habiba radiallahu ta'ala anha was the daughter of Hazrat Sayyidina Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala, the chief of Makkah. Hazrat Sayyidina Juwayriya radiallahu ta'ala anha was the daughter of Harith ibn Dirar, the chief of the Banu Mustalik tribe. Different wives came from different clans. And alhamdulillah, this brought those clans closer to Islam, and they all eventually accepted Islam as well. This was the great wisdom and hikmat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and all these wives. So they'd lived a luxurious life. They were the daughters of the leaders of these tribes. They had grown up with all these worldly things. And now that they were the wives of the Messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal, they were simply living on dates and water. So they expressed this desire, and there was nothing wrong with that. But Akka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam felt that they'd missed the point. What they'd missed is that Allah Azza wa Jal had given them such a huge status. Allah Azza wa Jal had given them such a huge bounty and a gift. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam isolated themselves in Masjid al-Nabawi Sharif. Now, this is something between Akka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his blessed and pure wife. But rumors started to spread in Madinah al-Munawwarah that, you know, Nauzubillah, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has divorced his wives, etc. And these rumors reached out, and, you know, the way that rumors spread. Hazrat Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala comes to the court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He asks for permission. Akka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doesn't reply. Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala says it, requests it in a slightly firmer tone, but talking to the companion and in the hope that Akka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would overhear and call him in and say, tell Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Umar wants to see you. So Akka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called him in. And he says, look, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, whatever you've decided,
is fine by me. He then requests, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is it true that you've divorced all your blessed wives? And Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, no, I have not divorced my wife. Hazrat Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu wives, Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu becomes happy. He says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all the companions of Medina are sorrowful, they're disheartened, they don't know what's happened, and this rumor has been spread. If you give me permission, I will put them out of their misery. I will tell them that this hasn't happened and you haven't divorced your wives. He goes and tells them. Then Allah Azza wa Jal reveals this ayat of the Quran. Surah Al-Ahzab, verse 28 and 29. O communicator of the unseen, Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, say to your wives, if you wish the life of the world and its adornment, then come. I shall provide you wealth and leave you in a well manner. And if you desire Allah and His Messenger and the abode of the hereafter, then undoubtedly Allah has kept prepared an immense reward for the virtuous amongst you. The Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam first called the great Hazrat Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, the daughter of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anha, the Mufti of Islam. This was the greatest scholar and the greatest lawgiver in the wise Ummahat al-Mu'mineen. And she was amazing. I mean, you know, you could argue that she was one of the best women ever to set foot on the earth. He calls Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha. O Aisha, I am giving you the opportunity to decide on something. But do not make your decision in haste. You should rather consult your parents. Thereafter, give me your answer. He then recited the verse of the Quran, which I've just read. And as soon as Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recites this verse, the mother of the believers, Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha the great, immediately, the scholars write, didn't hesitate for one moment, didn't say, I've got to ask my father Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, my mother, I need to consult somebody. Immediately, upon hearing that Allah Azza wa Jal, the creator of the heavens and the earth, is saying, choose between the luxuries of this world or my Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Her reply was this, O Messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal, what need is there for me to consult my parents in this matter? I choose Allah and His Messenger and the hereafter. Subhanallah. Straight away, she says these words. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then approached each of the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, the mothers of the believers individually, and read this ayat of the Quran. And every one of them wept and said, we choose Allah and His Habib over the luxuries of this world. And the world and the books of history testify that up until them leaving this world, they stuck by this oath and never desired for the world. They had everything in the companionship of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was just a desire they expressed. And Allah Azza wa Jal said, choose between the world and my Habib. And they said, your Habib is everything. We don't want the world. We just want the companionship of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This incident showed us the immense love that the mothers of the believers had for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah Azza wa Jal send eternal blessings upon our Master Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his beautiful and pure wives who stuck by his side throughout his blessed life. This was one of the events that occurred. During this year of the 9th of Hijri, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appointed different companions to go and collect zakat through the Arabian Peninsula from different tribes. Alhamdulillah, that silsila of zakat, this new financial system started, and they started to collect it. A delegation was sent to Banu Tamim in Muharram, 9th Hijri. Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Sayyidina Bashir bin Sufyan to collect zakat. But this particular tribe actually attacked him. He managed to get away with his life. Came back to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dispatched a contingent to go there. There was some skirmishes, and some soldiers and people were captured and brought back. When they were brought back, the leaders of this tribe came to the court of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they were a very strange tribe, because they thought that their expression, their advocacy, their eloquence was what gave them their superiority. And they were very arrogant of that. So they came with their poets to the court of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The scholars write that they arrived in the afternoon. And because some of their soldiers and people had been captured, they arrived in the afternoon. And Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taking a siesta, taking a break. And they started to stand outside the house of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and started to shout, "We have brought our orator and poet to narrate our accomplishments to you. And you can narrate yours." And basically they were saying, "Look, we are special. We are proud of what we've got. We've got a history. And you come and narrate what you are, and we'll narrate what we are, and we'll see who's better." The Messenger of Allah replied, "I have not been sent for poetry, nor have I been instructed by Allah to boast over others. I am the Messenger of Allah. Nonetheless, if this is what you so desire, I am ready." And in this, what Nabi Akram's amazing wisdom was there to see. And the beauty about wisdom is that when the action is first done, you know, normal people like us, we don't understand, why is this happening? But then when the truth comes out, you know, when you move down in time and you realize the great decision and how its wisdom has unfolded, then you realize the great depth of that decision. You remember Sulh Hudaybiyah, how Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam outsmarted the world. This was another one of those things. So on the face of it, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Well, look, I don't want to enter into a poetry contest with you." But they insisted. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Okay then." But there was great wisdom in that. What happened next? Al-Qara there then jested. He was the leader. He said to his orator, "You get up and give them the virtues of our ancestors." So he gets up and he starts to say things. And he starts to talk about it. Then Sayyidina Thabit bin Qais radiallahu ta'ala, a companion, gets up and narrates the great status. And then, instructed by the Messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal, he responds and he delivers such a beautiful speech that the scholars and historians write that the sheer eloquence of this speech left the Banu Tamim awestruck. They thought they were going to come and they were going to overpower Islam with their speech and their talk and their history and their achievements. And when this companion of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke, Allah Azza wa Jal gave him so much beauty in his voice, in his speech, and in his eloquence that they were dumbstruck. They thought, "What is this? We thought we were the best. Look at these people." Next. Thereafter, the orator stood up. He then started to recite poetry. And he started to, in poetry, praise his tribe and everything else and the leaders. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed Hazrat Sayyidina Hassan bin Thabit radiallahu ta'ala to speak. And when he spoke, and when he praised the best of creation, it was so brilliant, it was so spectacular, it was so magnificent, that even these people who were proud of their poetry and their eloquence and their beauty of speech were mesmerized. They thought, "This is something else." And the love that the companions had brought this out. But not only that, the mesmerizing factor was that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is before them. They are praising the best of creation. They are talking about the greatness of Allah Azza wa Jal in that environment. And it just left everybody totally dumbstruck and mesmerized. Look at the wisdom. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't say at the beginning, "I'm not going to listen to your poetry. I'm not going to listen to your speeches. You know, I've got my soldiers here. If you want to fight, or else go away," or something like that. No. They invited, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hikmat and wisdom was, let's reply to them in what they want. And that reply was so amazing that upon hearing the excellence of the Messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal, both in the speech and in the poetry, the beauty of Islam became open to them. And they started to embrace Islam. They came to oppose Islam. They came to show their greatness. And yet they were so mesmerized by the beauty of the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that they were now leaving in the fold of Islam. Subhanallah. Then Allah Azza wa Jal revealed the following ayat of the glorious Quran. You remember when they first came, they stood outside the house of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and were shouting. Allah Azza wa Jal revealed this. Because the creator of the heavens and the earth didn't want, you know, wanted to teach the world the etiquettes and respect and honor and dignity in the court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in Surah Hujrat, verses 4 and 5, Allah Azza wa Jal reprimanded them. Even though they were non-Muslims, they've accepted Islam, Allah Azza wa Jal still reprimanded them. Undoubtedly, most of those who call you from outside the chambers do not have any sense. And had they been patient until you came out to them, it would have been better for them. And Allah is oft forgiving, most merciful. Allah Azza wa Jal taught the world how to behave in the court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And indeed, if you have the honor and privilege of visiting the court of Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on top of the Jaliyah Mubarak in the middle, this Ayah Mubarakah is there. Do not raise your voices in the court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, lest that your deeds be wasted. These ayats, this and the other ayat from Surah Al-Hujurat, are all written there. Subhanallah. This was how Allah Azza wa Jal, the creator of the heavens and the earth, there wasn't any wise man or anybody in the court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who's teaching the people, saying, don't speak to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam like this, or speak to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this way. Allah Azza wa Jal was telling the creation, when you come to the court of my beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, make sure you come with respect, and make sure you come honoring my Prophet. That's when your deeds will be accepted. And if you don't, if you raise your voices in the court of my beloved Habib, and you remember about a few weeks ago, we did that ayat where when the ayat was revealed, do not raise your voices in the court of my Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was one companion who thought maybe that ayat had been revealed for him. This ayat was specifically revealed for these people who were stood outside the house of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and were shouting for Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to come out. Subhanallah. Now, Rabi al-Thani, 9th Hijri, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent contingents out, battalions out to different tribes. So the tribe of Tayy, in order to destroy a temple. There was a temple there where they worshipped. So the Muslim army went there, destroyed the temple, and returned to Medina with some female captives. Now this particular tribe, in this particular area, had a specific quality. Hatim al-Tayy was known for his good nature, his generosity. This was his tribe. He had passed away, but his daughter and son were still there. And his daughter was captured during this battle and brought back to the court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hatim Tayy was a famous philanthropist and he helped whoever he could and he gave them more than he asked for. So he was known, and you'll have heard of that term being used, Hatim Tayy. Well, his son, Adi bin Hatim, when the attack happened, he fled to Sham. And when the daughter of Hatim Tayy was brought to the court of the Messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal, she said, I am the daughter of Hatim al-Tayy. My father has passed away, and my brother Adi bin Hatim has deserted me and fled to Sham. I am old and weak, so please have mercy on me. Allah shall have mercy upon me. She was pleading for mercy in the court of the mercy to the world. The response she anticipated may have been that she may have, you know, that the difficulties might have been lightened for her, or at best she may have been released. The scholars write, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam grants her freedom, puts her on a camel, and there's one writer who says, releases others with her and sends her back. Before she leaves, she can't believe it. She's thinking, we have done this against Islam, and, you know, I'm thinking these are such different people, and yet this personality is so amazing that I say free me, and not only do they free me, they give me camels and everything else. She embraces Islam. She embraces Islam and then goes back home. She then approaches her brother, Adi bin Hatim, and informs him that I have met somebody truly amazing. She says, the messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal is the most compassionate. He says, you will not find anybody better than him. He treats people nobly. He gives people respectful. He gives them respect and he honors them. This person is truly magnificent. Upon hearing this, Adi was greatly impressed. He thinks, wow, I was thinking this was an enemy. No, this is somebody truly amazing. This lofty character, it must be the messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal. Without seeking any guarantees, because he had fled. And usually what people did was sent a message saying, you know, will you guarantee my safety if I come to you? Without seeking any guarantees, any protection, he immediately returns to Medina and comes to the court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam with this belief that I'm going to the court of the Messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the beloved Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam, through the amazing knowledge that Allah Azza wa Jal had given Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, knew that Adi was coming with this beautiful heart. He had recognized the truth. Hazrat Adi bin Hatim radiallahu anhu comes in, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam graciously stands up, meets him, shakes hands with him, and asked, oh Adi, from what did you flee? Why did you run away? Did you run away from proclaiming the oneness of Allah? Tell me, is there anybody worthy of worship besides Allah? And Hazrat Adi bin Hatim radiallahu ta'ala replies in the negative. Immediately, he pronounces the kalma and embraces Islam. This pleased the Messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal immensely. And the face of Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which always shone brightly, was even more illuminating. Subhanallah. Hazrat Adi bin Hatim radiallahu ta'ala was like his father, very generous. And you know, there was one incident where somebody came to him and asked for 100 dirhams. He said, is that all? And he gave him a lot more. He became known like his father as very generous. And you know, Islam is full of generosity. Now he was at the feet of the best of creation. Can you imagine his generosity and how it increased? The beauty about Islam and the beauty about the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that when you come to this beautiful deen and when you come with the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then whatever beautiful good qualities you have, they are magnified. You come with a pure heart full of generosity, then when you come to the feet of Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your generosity will know no bounds. And this is what happened with Hazrat Adi bin Hatim radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He was a very honorable companion. And the Khilafat of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when many tribes withheld zakat, he was the one who fought hard to make sure that zakat was paid. When Sayyidina Adi bin Hatim radiallahu ta'ala took part in the conquest of Iraq and other Islamic battles, the scholars write that he passed away at the age of 120 years, and there are lots of hadithi mubarakah which are narrated from him. Subhanallah, what an amazing companion of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now also, in the 9th year of Hijrah, the battle in which Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam participated took place. This was the Battle of Tabuk. Tabuk is situated between Madinatul Munawwara and Sham. Now, what you've got to remember is the full scene. So what happened is, Islam is now spreading throughout the Arabian Peninsula, but up north, you've got Syria, what's now modern-day Syria, Sham, you've got the Byzantine Empire, you've obviously got the Roman Empire, you've got the Persian Empires, you've got all these powers. Now, Tabuk was either the name of a well or a fortress, possibly both. Now, what had happened is that as Islam is spreading through the Arabian Peninsula, the Byzantine Empire started to bring together many, many local tribes and areas, and to build an army to try and put an end to Islam. So their intention was that the Ghassids, the others, the big, big areas, so I'm not talking about small tribes, we're talking about, you know, big, big tribes. And they thought, we'll all come together, we'll form a huge army, and we will go to Madinatul Munawwara, and we will wipe out the Muslims. So this is their plan. News of this reaches Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Byzantines are planning this. Now, Akakrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam decide that to protect Madinatul Munawwarah, to protect the Arabian Peninsula, and to protect Islam, the best way is to take the battle to them. While they're preparing, Islam was going to prepare an army. Now, all the previous battles were done at the last moment, very secretively and very subtly. This was different. Announcements are made, wealth is gathered, different things happen, and people are urged to come forward. Eventually, an army of 30,000 companions would come together. Can you imagine that although Islam is better financially, 30,000 companions, and then hot Arabian Peninsula during the summer months, and they have to march north to Tabuk, and not all of them have got rides, not all of them have got weapons, not all of them have the provisions. So Akakrim sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam sends out a call. And at this time, Hijaz was actually experiencing the area, Makkah, Medina, this area called Hijaz, was actually experiencing a drought as well. There was a shortage of food, and the heat was making it virtually impossible to go out. It was the time of crops as well, so you had to leave them. So there were all sorts of difficulties with harvesting. But at that time, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made this announcement. Now, when announcements are made to go into battle at this difficult time, you will tell, as they say, the real people from the fakes. And the munafiqeen started to show. They didn't want to go out. They didn't want to fight in the heat. They didn't want to spend their wealth in the way of Islam. And so they stood out like a sore thumb. They tried to discourage others. They tried to stop this expedition. They tried everything. They made life difficult for the Muslims and Akakrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this has been the way of the munafiqun right from the beginning. Whenever there is an Islamic mission, whenever there is some work of deen to do, whether it's inviting towards good, whether it's forbidding evil, you will get the munafiqun who will try and stop. And the shaitan, you know, he brings this army to the forefront. He gives them inspiration. And this is essentially the munafiqun were the army of the shaitan because they were there to stop this. Now, Akakrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the pulpit sheikh, from the mimbar sheikh, asks for financial and military support by means of provisions and soldiers. This is where the sunnah of appealing for donations for the work of Islam and for righteousness originates from. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, look, we have got the Byzantine Empire, all these different countries, and they're coming together now. And although we have reached the far tribes of Arabia, they are coming to wipe us out. We need to build this army to protect ourselves. And so we need to go out and meet them on the neutral fields so that we can battle them before they come to destroy Madinatul Munawwarah and destroy the villages and the tribes of Islam. Because lots of tribes of the Arabian Peninsula were now Muslim and they were praying and giving zakat. At that point, amazing, amazing things happened. True believers flocked to the feet of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from all over, responding to this amazing appeal from Akakrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They brought whatever they could find. Some companions, they didn't have anything. They were poor. One companion, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he went out, because he didn't have anything, but he wanted to participate, he wanted to do something. He went out and he worked for the day pulling water out of the well. His reward, his wages for that day were 2 sa' kujur. O Messenger of Allah, I've worked tirelessly all day, drawing water out of a well, to be paid these 2 sa's of dates as wages. I've left one for my children, one for my family, and I present before you the other. The heart of the mercy to the worlds was filled with love of this companion. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so touched by this sincerity of this companion. Once out of date, Abu Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a pile of stuff in Masjid Nabawi that everybody had brought. Abu Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took this one sa'a and placed it on top of everything. This is, you know, so precious. Why? Because it was given from the heart. And Abu Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam expressed his love for his companions. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Nabi channel, that era was amazing. These people were magnificent. And why wouldn't they be? They were in the company of the best of the creation of Allah, the mercy to the world. I've got so many stories for you. Next week's episode is going to be very special. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam preparing the army, and then the miracles that happened on the way, and how the companions responded, and then what happened in Tabuk, how the Byzantine Empire responded, and what happened. Wow. We've got so much in store for you. We're going to have to move on. I've only got a couple of minutes for my next section. Inshallah, we'll continue from here next week. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The mercy to the world.
Now, easy good deeds. You'll remember that every week we try and give you some easy good deeds to practice. Our pious predecessors, what they used to do, you know when we go to do wuzu, we just quickly splash our face and we get out and we read the mass. Our pious predecessors used to spend time doing wuzu. They used to make sure that the face was washed thoroughly and fully. They used to make sure that any part of the faraiz and even the sunnah, nothing was left. Today, when we do wuzu, we do quickly and sometimes even the first parts aren't washed. Wuzu is the key to namaz. So you need to do wuzu correctly. Today, I'm going to give you some madni pearls that will increase your good deeds. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam gave us some beautiful madni pearls that Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if in the beginning of wuzu you recite Bismillah walhamdulillah, then subhanallah, angels will continue to write good deeds in your book of deeds for as long as you are in wuzu. As they say, Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala says that the beautiful King of Medina sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said, if when you do wuzu, recite Bismillah walhamdulillah, then for the time that you remain in wuzu, angels will continue to write good deeds in your book of deeds. Now, how easy is that? Bismillah walhamdulillah. Then there are many other things that you can do. But one thing that the scholars write in light of the beautiful hadith in Barakah is that if you want to be protected from difficulties and calamities, make it a habit to stay in wuzu. As soon as your wuzu breaks, go and do wuzu again. It only takes a few moments. But if you stay in wuzu, you stay in the protection of Allah Azza wa Jal. So this week, we make wuzu many times a day. Try and recite Bismillah walhamdulillah. And try and stay in wuzu as much as you can. You will feel spiritually enlightened. SubhanAllah. Better give you the answer to the question. Five pillars of Islam. The answer was, how many pillars of Islam are there? And the answer is, five pillars of Islam. Try and spend your week doing as many good deeds. Amir al-Sunnah Dawud Barakatuh Al-Aliyah says, you know, like we try to look for investment opportunities and everything else, and we try to look for schemes or anything that helps us make a bit of money. Try and have that mentality when it comes to good deeds. Try and take every opportunity to do a good deed. May Allah Azza wa Jal bless us all in this beautiful week, keep us away from anything that displeases Him, and keep us on that path that pleases Allah Azza wa Jal and His beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen bijahi Nabil Ameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The mercy to the worlds, 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 sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.